I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is down to nine. Pajemski dribbling, cut off by Thompson. Pajemski dribbling, 5 on the clock, gotta go, steps around him, layup is good. He used that pivot foot again and just stayed with it and laid it in. He is remarkable at using that. 112-108.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonta.
You keep hitting fadeaways in the paint, I'll hit the brakes, Pods. What a game from him Saturday night. Now, I know there were some turnovers, 3 and all. He got pressured, but that's a hell of an experience for Brandon Pajemski. He needs these reps down the stretch. He needs to be pressed full court to learn how to navigate against longer and more athletic defenders. But big buckets down the stretch in the fourth quarter when the Warriors needed a basket. Each score is 6, man. The fadeaway over Jabari Smith. What about the pump fake to get 2 guys in there? Taking Jalen Green baseline, man. These youngsters and this team. They got me feeling some type of way, Shasky. It's hard to hide right now. They got me feeling some type of way. I felt it Saturday, felt it all throughout the postgame show. I'm driving in watching the NFL yesterday, said, I can't get enough of this damn Warriors team. When did they hit the court again? Well, they hit the court today in the nation's capital, early tip time, 4:15 West Coast time. But boy, they can get to 6-1 here before we set up a monster 3-game stretch between the Celtics, the Cavaliers, and OKC, Shasky. I'm feeling really good about this team. I don't know why.
No, well, I mean,
look, I'm feeling it, man.
I think
feel good.
I probably speak for a lot of people out there. I don't know how many, but I just, like, they never passed the eye test the last 2 years. Like, yeah. They just didn't, you know? And I would watch them, and then we would talk about them and come in here. And I feel like I'm the negative Nancy because I'm like, I didn't believe in them. Like, I wanted to. There were moments where, like, I fooled myself into believing. When I watch this team, and look, they haven't played anyone. We're 2 weeks in. You know, ask me again in May. You know, it's a long season, right. You know? So things can happen. But, like, I watch this team, and I'm like, they like playing with each other. They're playing a good brand of basketball.
No doubt.
The coaches really like these guys.
Yep.
I've believed more early on in this team than I almost feel like at any point all last year.
Well, last year, you had a lot going on, obviously. Clay's contract. You're welcoming in Chris Paul. JK doesn't know his role. Moses Moody's getting DMPs. We had no clue how well Brandon Pajemski and TJD would fit. Hell, TJ didn't play. He didn't play the first few months. Looney obviously is in a lot better shape this year than he was last year. Looney's lost like 35 to 40 pounds.
He's made a lot of really, really nice plays on the court this
winning
year.
Plays.
Yeah.
Winning basketball plays down the stretch. Bought into his role.
How about his layup the other night?
Oh, dude, not starting. He's coming off the bench, and you hear nothing. And this guy's in a contract year. Gary Payton II was never fully healthy last season. So there was just a lot going on with that basketball team to where, again, they could never function as one. How can Steve Kerr divvy up roles for everybody when guys are in and out of the lineup? Not to mention Draymond Green missing 27 games. So it was a lot going on last season. They were able to rectify it after a noisy offseason in which, Paul George and Lowry Marketing. Aren't we happy? I think if you wake up this morning as a Warrior fan, aren't you happy you got this roster? Instead of having, say, a Paul George or a Lowry Marketing, to your point, they haven't beat a playoff team from last season yet. I get it. You play whoever is on your schedule, but you control how you play. You don't control who you play. You control how you play. And right now, the players, the Warriors, are playing winning basketball. They're playing winning basketball. They're not turning the ball over. They're taking great shots. And all the hustle stats, folks. Number one in deflections in the half court. What does that do? Disrupts your 24-second half court offense. Number two in steals. They're getting down and dirty on the floor. They're stealing. They're trapping. They're doubling. They're doing whatever they got to do to get the basketball. They're taking high-quality shots. Again, they're taking care of the basketball. So just everything is different last year. And so as we put last year in the rearview mirror and focus on this year and moving forward here on this road trip, it just feels better. It looks better. It feels fun again.
Well, and if JK can continue to embrace the role that he's in now, and I know people are going to go, Joe, there's positionless basketball, blah, blah. But when he's at small forward and he's starting, it just My eyes tell me it's clunky at times. It's not a perfect fit. It can work, but it's clunky.
Right.
When he's coming off the bench and it feels like he's playing a little more power forward in the offense as opposed to, you know, small forward, and then guarding wings and stuff on defense, the lane just opens up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows him at times to go ISO, at times to go downhill against opponents with nobody else in the lane. I feel like he gets better looks. So to me, if he could continue to embrace this and buy in on this role, you've got a weapon off the bench who can close games with you and can be an ISO scorer when your team desperately mm-hmm. needs a bucket.
And get to the free throw line and knock down some free throws. JK, hell of a week for him. There's such a good point there, Shasky. Let's get to the lines. We got Oscar Stockton, but first let's start with Samita in Los Gatos. You know it's basketball season when Samita's calling in. What's up, Samita? Good morning. Samita, you there?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Sorry, we didn't have your pod up. Sorry about that. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, The game was, you know, I got to tell you, I was about to be like, oh no, here we go again when we blew that big lead. But I think the difference between this year and last year, you know, I think these guys, they didn't panic. You know, they didn't look like, I think you've heard me say this before, you know, last year, sometimes we look like we were just like a bad AAU team. We didn't play like that this year, this game. I mean, I think the guys held it together. And it really seems like, to what Shasky said just a little while ago, these guys like playing together. I think the locker room is much more cohesive as a unit, and you're seeing that. You know, I know it's still early days, but in times of, you know, stress, when, you know, you lose a big lead, they didn't fall apart. They kind of hung together, and I don't know if it's just the locker room or the new coaching staff, but, you know, it was good to see that they hung in there and ended up winning that game, and they played like a team. They really, everybody played their role, which I think was a big difference from last year. Also, I just got to say, Bonte, it's great to see you back on my screen, and your shoe game is on point.
I appreciate it. No tennis shoes yet, Samita, just all dress shoes. That's how you know I'm serious.
Well, you know, my dad used to say to you all the time, he thinks that it looks way better, the suit with the actual dress shoes.
Yeah.
He never cared for you wearing the Jordans. Not that he didn't think the Jordans weren't cool. He just thought you looked more professional with the other look.
He's old school.
He is old school in that sense.
I get it. But to Samita's point, last year, we need to talk about blown leads and blown fourth quarter leads. The Warriors were near the top of the league.
I mean,
you know, and, it, you know, right now I'm looking at the standings last year. They blew 16 games in which they had a fourth quarter lead. Now blown 10-point leads, the Warriors were in the top seven. They blew 14 games in which they had 10-point leads. Why was that? Well, I think Steve Kerr had a hard time figuring out who to close with. Who do I close with? Do I go with the hotheads or do I stay loyal to the core? Do I stay loyal to veterans? Chris Paul, is he finishing? Is he not finishing? Now all of a sudden you finish with Chris Paul and you're getting blown eyes left and right. So, not to rip Chris Paul, because I think he was a solid Warrior, but the team was just different. And trying to figure out the roles here now, moving forward, I'm still eager to see what it looks like with Stephen Curry in the lineup. What is the final five? What is crunch time? What is Steve Curry going to go with? Is he going to ride hot heads? Is he going to go with a set five? How does that look down the stretch? But you know what? Boy. It's so far so good.
For those that are just waking up and maybe didn't get the alert, what is the latest with Steph Curry?
He is questionable this morning. He did on-court work Saturday morning with the Warriors, did morning workouts, and he worked out before the game. You saw him warming up pregame. I asked Willie, how's the ankle look? He goes, oh, it looks great. Look at him cutting left and right. So the Warriors won that game so much that there are some people thinking, maybe you sit him for another game against the Wizards.
You know how when the 49ers start losing, you say that the stadium talks come into play?
Oh, yes.
Anytime Steph hurts a leg, ankle, knee, you know what the first thing I see a lot of people talking about?
What? High tops.
The shoes aren't high tops.
Oh, gosh.
The shoes have too much roll. People start critiquing the Under Armour shoe.
Yeah.
No, am I wrong? Yeah.
He played 70 games last year.
I know, but isn't it funny? Like, right. it's like almost on cue it happens.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go to Oscar in Stockton. Oscar, what's
Hi,
happening?
Oscar.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Dude, I'm so happy.
Hey, man, like I said last week, man, the Warriors' young talent is just as good as anybody else. But the difference is our organization, and we got a head coach. I just hear people be laughing, and people be calling in, question Moses Moody time. Right now, Moses Moody is starting. He's coming. He's doing well. And Steve Kerr is playing 10 to 12 players. So, you know, we going back to 1975. Players are averaging 10 minutes a game. Mm. We're going to do what we got to do to win. And so, you know, as a basketball sideline and a Warriors fan, you got to love what the Warriors is doing because we're bringing in players that fit the mold. Nobody's complaining, and we win it without Steph Curry. And another thing, Draymond Green, like you guys were talking about, he needs to do offense. He must have been listening to the show because guess what? He's been putting in work, and that's what we need him to do. And Kuminga is doing what we said he needs to do to get that bag. Come off the bench. Play all phases of the game, which he has been doing, and take over. And people like to criticize Paz, man. But, man, check this out, man.
He's a winning player, Oscar. He's a winning player.
Yeah, he's a ball player with intelligence, and he got skill. And I wanted to say happy birthday to my wife.
Oh,
her
nice.
Birthday is a week after mine. You know what I'm saying? And go Warriors. We're going to end it. We're going to win again tonight. And, man, everybody just be patient, man.
You too. You know, real quick, Chasky, somebody at the Bruce Mahoney said, hey, Bonte, I'm starting to believe you when you said that other player said they could win 50. I believe they could win 50 or more. I was like, this is fuck the brakes, but so far,
it's
so good.
Saying out loud. You know, the pause thing is very interesting. I know. I seen you tweeting it out. You and I were talking about it. I said it after like maybe one or two games. You know, I have like a coaching saying, and a lot of people do. This isn't new, but like there are certain guys that aren't going to like wow you by just walking into the dugout. You know, like coming off the bus. You know, when you see an Eric Armstead, you're going to be like, wow. That's a huge human being. And then there are other people like Brock Purdy who, like, you'll watch him play and you're like, yeah, that guy just knows how to play. I don't know if he's the best player in the league, but, like, I'll go to war with a guy like that. Like, he's a gamer. And I look at Pajemski as a similar gamer in the sense that he's not somebody that's going to wow you with crazy athleticism. He's not going to rip dunks. You know, he's, like, really, like, the reverse of Jonathan Kuminga, the 180 opposite end. Mm-hmm. He's all guile, guts, and hustle, and instincts, and he looks like a guy who's been playing in the backyard against older brothers, and I don't even know if he has older brothers, for his entirety of his life. You know what I mean? And he's been diving on concrete floors. The guy is just, he's cut from a different cloth, and he has a feel around the rim for using his pivot foot and using his ability to go with either hand off either foot,
right,
and spin it off the backboard. Like, I love watching him play.
He connects everything, whether it's the starters or the second unit. And like you said, the numbers aren't eye-popping, but I look around at his role. Does a little bit of everything. 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 10.5 points. Now, the only knock on him, and I know people say, well, but he's not shooting well. Okay, he's shooting 19% from the three-point line so far and 38% from the floor. But I don't give a damn. Keep shooting threes. If you get wide-open looks and you get good looks from the three-point line, I want Pod shooting. They will start to fall. The law of averages will come to play here. This guy shot 38.5% from three last year. Think he's going to be stuck at 19, 20? The numbers will come up with the shot. But other than that, ball handling. And look, there were some hairy moments in the fourth quarter against Amin Thompson, pressing him. How about the subtle, though? Late in the game, nobody even noticed this. Knowing that Draymond Green's not the greatest free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Pods, knowing that he's got a timeout in his back, did not panic. We're talking about not panicking in this situation. Rockets came over with a double team. He just holds the ball. Let's get a timeout here. Give me a timeout. Let's chill. Let's draw up a play. We'll get the right free throw shooter at the free throw line, even though they miss 18 free throws Saturday night. But just little things like that. The guy understands time, situation. He understands the clock, the patience he showed that fourth quarter with those moves. Pontus, again, I just call him a gamer. The guy's a winning basketball player. A lot of teams, and you see why a lot of teams are like, yeah, what's up with Brendan Pajinski? Can we get him in a trade? Can we get Pontus? This guy connects everything, man. I like a guy like Pods on my roster. He fits.
And then you heard Ron Adams kind of allude to it, but you really have like two point guards essentially on this team. You want to call Steph Curry one fine. I don't, but like it's Pods, it's Draymond. And then I guess Melton can play a little bit of point guard. And yeah, I guess Steph can also play some point guard. But in this game, you had no Steph, you had no Melton. Mm-hmm. So boom, that's two options out of the way. Draymond fouls out. And then Pajemski fouls out.
Yeah, no.
And you're without a ball handler. What was it, 2 minutes to go?
Yeah, a minute? It was wild.
And slow-mo's like walking the ball up the floor. And you're saying to yourself, like, they've got to win this game. They've got to win this game. And I can't get enough of the Warriors right now. I am so excited for this game today. And it's just, it feels like
this road trip.
We're learning something new every game.
I mean, look, I expect them to beat the Wizards tonight. I really do. Now, the Wizards have a nice young roster. They're athletic as hell, man. Bilal Koulibaly, this second-year pro, is good. This guy's
so what's
France.
His name?
Bilal Koulibaly. Koulibaly.
Okay.
Koulibaly could play.
And what position is he?
He's a 6'8"-3/4.
Okay.
6 rebounds a game, 19 points.
Wow.
He's shooting the ball very well. Jordan Poole, obviously, our good friend Jordan
Poole. How is our friend Jordan Poole playing?
Jordan Poole's not playing too bad. Now, they went to Mexico City Saturday night to take on the Miami Heat in Mexico City. Now, this is a good thing for the Warriors because the Wizards in Mexico City, that's a long flight back to the nation's capital.
Yeah, in altitude, too.
Right. And the Warriors were in Houston, so they, you know, were able to travel after the game, go to the nation's capital, get some rest. Where the Wizards had a long flight back home. They're 2-3, 1-3 at home. They don't play much defense, but they got our old friend Jordan Poole, Jonas Valanciunas, who always gets Warriors fits.
Yeah.
He's strong as an ox, right? And they, so, but they're a young team. They're a young team that's going to turn the ball over. So
I miss that money time.
We're talking about that. We're having full-on pool parties with Jordan Poole.
Well, now we got Buddy Love.
Now we got Buddy Love, Buddy Buckets. 888-957-9570.
I love how, like, you just, every time I bring up Buddy Love and how excited I am, he's smiling, he's looking into the glass.
No, I'm smiling. No, you think I don't like Buddy
Love? With every Buddy Bucket, I become more and more in love with him.
No, I think everybody else does, too.
Oh, no doubt. And it feels like...
it's not just the buckets, though. It's the other things that he's doing.
How about a hands-up defense late in that game?
He's scrapping defensively. He's rebounded basketball. And what got me Saturday was him clapping at Kuminga. Hey, Kuminga.
The little things.
He's telling Kuminga, hey, get your mind right. Let's go. And then be able to check Kuminga and keep him locked in. And then you get Ron Adams talking about... This is what Ron Adams said about Kuminga Snyder. We got two clips here where he blew me away. Ron Adams just joined us at 7 o'clock. The assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors. He gave Stackhouse some love. He gave his team a lot of love. But here's what he said about J.K. Saturday night.
He scored meaningful points down the stretch, but I think more than that, and I told him this, I thought it was his best game ever as a Warrior. And I say that because I thought he played... Every possession, locked in, with great effort, and I'm talking both sides of the ball. And this is what he's capable of doing. I think sometimes, let me just back up a little bit. Several seasons ago when he was having trouble scoring, figuring out the scoring part of it, he was really playing some good defense for us. If you remember, we were putting him on, in some cases, in any given game, the best player on the other squad. And he was responding well. His energy was good. Then he started scoring, and with a lot of younger players in the league, they forget about defense a little bit. And now we're back in approaching a really good balance. And if he can continue to do this and understand, above all else, just the nature of this league. Look, a basic fundamental in this league, the basic fundamental, I might add, is playing the game at an NBA level, playing a game with great intensity and aggressiveness. And this is why I was just elated for him and the game he played the other night in Houston, because I thought that game exemplified both of those characteristics.
So this is his best game ever as a Warrior.
Do you believe that?
I'm going to listen to a coach when I'm going to there in the film room. They
no,
see
but what, if I were to ask you, if I were to ask you before he answered that, I'm not saying to disagree with him, but if I asked you prior to him answering that, what do you think your answer would have been?
There was a game against the Pelicans when they were down 17 a couple years ago that I thought he played very well in. I thought he played well in the Denver game last year. But they're all lopsided, right? They're all, I don't know. I don't know what my answer would have been, to be honest with you. I don't. Oh, yeah, love it.
Well, I think it was at the Portland game last year where he came in for like the final 17 minutes and kind of closed that one out. And I think that was the game that kind of really kind of re-injected him into the rotation last year.
He was out of the rotation early December at home against the Blazers at Chase Center. They were down 9 midway through the third quarter. Steve Kerr, who didn't have J.K. in the rotation that day, came in, scored, 16-18, played solid defense. They come back with a game. That could be one game. But Rod's like, Saturday night was his best game. And they needed, think about it. You're about to blow a 31-point lead.
Ugh.
Draymond, Steph, Pods are all on the bench. And not to mention, Andrew Wiggins looked like he re-aggravated his lower back strain.
He did. Although he came back.
He came back and played overtime, but it was like, how are you going to get a bucket?
I know.
Who's going to get a bucket here? Buddy Hield had gotten cold a bit, and they were just all over him on a three-point line. And the Rockets, give them credit. They really forced the Warriors off that three-point line in the second half. 12 of 20 in the first half, 60%. 3 of 12 in the second half, which means only 12 three-point attempts. Warriors are getting up 44 or 45 a game for the three-point line. So for him to take over in overtime, both offensively, defensively, he rebounded better. Remember we talked about Friday. How can he rebound better? What is it? Is it instincts? Is he boxing out? Is he on the perimeter? Look, he outplayed his 2021 draft counterpart, Jalen Green. Jalen Green had just signed a 3-year, $100 million extension. Scored 7, was what, 2 of 13 Saturday night? He outplayed Jalen Green. Well,
that's a whole nother conversation regarding some of these, like, just astronomical numbers that have been thrown around for players that I just don't think are, I just don't think they're that good. Like, but that's a whole nother conversation. That's CBA. That's like so many layers, like the team, and they're banking on someone's growth or whatever. When I was like going crazy in the fourth quarter watching that game as a Warrior fan, all I kept thinking was, okay, like this is the game you gotta win. You're up 30.
Right.
It starts the road trip. You got the Wizards, like, cause you're thinking to yourself, okay, if it's Rockets, Wizards, and then you got Boston and Cleveland with OKC as the final stop on this tour, you have to bank wins against Houston and Washington when they're winnable, right? Things can happen out of your control. Guys can get hurt, whatever. But like, it felt, I'm thinking they could go 0-4, you know what I mean? Like they could go 1-4 or 0-5 on this road trip if they don't pull this one out. And that's why that win was so huge. Now you're saying, can I go 3-2?
Yeah, well, one game at a time.
I know, but this is the mindset of Warrior fans.
But you know what, they're Warrior fans, but the mindset of the players and the coaches are, we're taking this baby one game at a time.
For sure.
We're taking it one game at a time, and that's the mindset that I'm kind of having here. Take care of the Wizards. Then we'll get to Boston. Take care of Boston. Then you get to Cleveland. Take care of Cleveland. Then you get the OKC and the Oklahoma City Thunder Sunday afternoon. And then, of course, you come back home and welcome home Klay Thompson against the Dallas Mavericks. And then you got the Memphis Grizzlies on a Friday night. So 5 of the next 6 games, they're barometer games for the Golden State Warriors. And it depends how it looks. How does it look on the rest of the road trip? And then all of a sudden we can start dreaming and thinking about deep playoff runs.
Well, I'm not there yet, but I would say that,
close. I can tell.
Gotta beat the Wizards today. And then you get basically the 3 best teams in the NBA by record, right? Boston, obviously reigning champs. I think they only have 1 loss. Cleveland's undefeated. OKC's undefeated. I don't know if people saw the game on Saturday night. Donovan Mitchell hit a game-winning shot with, like, I don't know, a second, not even a second left on the clock. So you're facing the 2 undefeated teams, right? And maybe they'll lose before they play the Warriors, but this is a great stretch to kind of measure yourself against everyone else in the league. And hopefully Steph comes back for the Boston game. Well,
these are games last year they didn't win without Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry doesn't play, and it's like, oh, boy.
What was their record last year?
I think it was 3-10, if I'm not mistaken.
Yikes.
He played 70 games. He played 70, right? So that'd be 3-9. I double-checked that. Let's go to Jason in Pleasanton. Jason, what's happening?
What's up, Bonte? Not much.
What's up, Jason?
I'm just wondering, and I'm wondering how you guys feel. JK, you guys think he could replicate that more throughout the season when he did in Houston in overtime?
Absolutely. I absolutely believe he can do that.
I think he's been taking full advantage of Steph being out to kind of, not necessarily grab the steering wheel, but like take the torch.
Right. No, I completely agree. And, I mean, I'm not sure how much longer Steph is going to be out, but like you said, it gives him a big, big opportunity for him to do that. And then another upside is his defense. He's definitely not a defensive liability, I think. So I think if he keeps holding his own on defense and he keeps doing that what he did in Houston, I think he definitely has a spot over here in Golden State.
No doubt. No doubt. I know everybody wants to be so quick to trade everybody. Let me just see this roster for the first 20 games. You may not need a trade. You may not need to trade for a superstar. You got your books in order. Finances are in order. You got some great role players. You got people bought into the system. Do you really want to break this up?
Ask me after a two-game losing streak. I'm teasing.
Do you want to break this up? I mean, seriously, the Warriors last year without Stephen Curry, 3-5. He played in 74 games. They were 3-5 without Stephen Curry last year. But with Stephen Curry, they had some bad, bad losses, especially at home. All right, let's go to Morgan in Morgan Hill. Morgan, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. I just wanted things. One, Kuminga, obviously very encouraging, that Houston Rockets game. But I think that the reason that is because of the way the Rockets were playing defense with such tight man defense, almost denied defense.
Yep.
So the spacing was just wide open. And when the spacing is wide open, Kuminga is going to have a ton of success. I still want to wait to see how he performs when the defense is more clogged up in the middle, because that's when he kind of starts to make some mistakes. But still encouraging nonetheless. And then number two, you know, this team makes me think about, like, when I play pickup basketball and you got four guys on your team that you really love, know how to play and pass the ball, and you got one guy who just shoots too much and doesn't know how to pass the ball. Passes are 2 seconds too late. That makes, and then, you know, you replace that guy, and all of a sudden you're cruising and you're just killing people. That makes me think of the Warriors getting rid of Klay. And crazy as that sounds, because Klay, obviously, we all love him, so much respect. We wish him the best in Dallas. But he was just killing the team last year with hero ball shots way too much. And I think Mike Dunleavy deserves a lot of credit bringing in the right guys. You know, Heald is filling in for Klay, you know, same type of respect as a shooter, but just not taking those hero ball shots. And I think that we can see Pods and everybody else kind of filling that void in a way that just shows team chemistry. I think in the NBA, team chemistry is more important than talent. I feel like, you know, 10 years ago when it was all about gathering three superstars, the big three, it was like talent was more important than chemistry. I think we're seeing chemistry is more important than talent.
Chemistry is very, very important. And your point is well said. Now, know the Klay thing's out there, and he's in Dallas, and they're doing their thing in Dallas. Watching those games last year, it's a lot of times they have the ball late in the possession, late in the shot clock, and somebody's got to take a shot. There's too many lineups last year where it felt like the spacing on the court was compromised, and there was guys where we know what Klay's strengths are, we know what his weaknesses are. Klay's not a dribble, I'm going to create a shot for myself. He is a catch and shoot, maybe 1-2 dribble, pull up, bang. That's his game. There's too many times over the last 2 years, not just last year, over the last 2 years where I would see Klay end up with the ball with about 8 to 9 seconds left in the shot clock and be forced to make a play, which is just not his game. And then he forces up a shot, and then everybody goes crazy. How can you force that shot up? Well, somebody's got to shoot the damn basketball. Nobody's shooting right now. Nobody's being aggressive offensively. The spacing's jacked up. But I'm not going to go to the point where it's like, hey, you replace him, a like for like, and all of a sudden everything's bad. There were a plethora of options, plethora of issues last season with this basketball team. So I think it's a little unfair to put it all on Klay Thompson. Now, I moved on from Klay Thompson. The Warriors moved on from Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson moved on from the Warriors. And I'm excited about this team right now. But what I don't want to go into is like, hey, let's put it all on Klay Thompson last year. But it's just not factually correct.
Well, let's take Klay off the board, right? Like, if we're just going pie chart here, Buddy Hield's been really good. Johnny yep. Kuminga has ascended a little more, just a little more than maybe what he did last year. I feel like Pods is a little better than he was last year. Kevon Looney is clearly a little better than he was last yep. year. GP2's healthy. Like, yep. I'm now listing right. like seven things right. that have nothing to do with Klay Thompson.
Exactly.
Right? And so I think when you add all these things up, like, is there a slice that is, hey, we don't have Klay? Yeah, there's a slice. But there's many, many other yep. parts of the pie that yep. have zero to do with just is Klay Thompson.
No doubt.
And I look at the totality of these things when you add them up, and I say, like, cumulatively, they found a way to offset his production, which was good, and they maybe strengthened some of the team weaknesses that were out there, bigger and more beyond just Klay Thompson individually.
Right. Exactly.
And it's not as simple as they just got rid of Klay. Right. There's so many layers.
I heard a lot of that. Oh man, I gotta say, Klay is like, it's a little deeper
it's
than
an
that.
Element.
But I get today's sports world, somebody's gotta get the blame about something.
Right now. So. I think this morning
Dennis Allen just got fired.
Yeah,
by
Dennis
the New Orleans
Allen
Saints.
Got fired. If you think New Orleans, okay, is in the position they're in just because of the head coach.
Right.
Like, come on. Like, yeah, no doubt he's a part of it, and he's a big slice, and I'm not here to deny that.
But also those injuries have been massive to that football team.
Yeah, Derek Carr stinks.
And that, too.
You know, Chris Olave has 5 concussions since 2020, and the poor guy keeps getting laid out. You know, and their defense isn't the same. And so, like, whenever these things happen and a team either ascends or falls down or whatever, it's never one thing.
Right. And you know what? And I just kind of cringe, man. He's one of our statue guys. Klay's moved on. We moved on. It was best for both parties. We'll see Dallas November the 12th. We'll see them November the 12th. And you know what? You may see them in the Western Conference Playoff Series. How sweet would that be? Let's go to...
Can we also allow for maybe 2 months before we have this deep philosophical... It's been a couple weeks. It's been a great couple weeks. I'm not
great
here to deny
weeks.
It.
Great
but, like, come
weeks.
On.
Great couple weeks.
Let's reassess after OKC, Cleveland, and Boston.
Right, and then you come back home and you play Dallas, who's 4-2 right now after blowing out. Who did they blow out yesterday? They blew out the Orlando Magic, who now have no Paolo Banchero, who's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh.
That would have been a great game to see with Paolo. Anyway, let's go to Mystic. Mystic, what's happening?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Mystic?
Joe, don't hang up on me today. Hey, man. Just real quick on the Klay thing. I know we moved off of Klay. But the problem was that Klay couldn't run anymore. He couldn't run. That affected his defense. And his whole offensive game here in the Bay Area has been run around to the open spot, mm-hmm. get the ball, make people chase you, and he can't do it. So Buddy Hield coming in has been a perfect fit because, not because of the defense, but because he can run. That mm-hmm. is his game. Him, he's a Rip Hamilton-type player with better range. He can run around and shoot the ball. So it's perfect. It reminds me of the Otto Porter fit. It's mm-hmm. a great fit. Here's the thing, though, about Kuminga. Kuminga, he's a fantastic player, and when you give him the rope and say, here, you're the guy, do it, he's showing you that he can. I just feel like they need to, Kerr needs to, make sure that they're ensuring him, telling him, hey, you're on the pedestal, you're the guy, take the ball and run with it. I think that his youthful athleticism, his scoring touch, and his defensive prowess adds a whole bunch to the team. And as you're seeing, I think it was kind of him just trying to find his way with new teams because it's like a whole new group. But now he's carving out his niche, and the Warriors need to kind of get out of his way and let him do it.
Well,
that's the key. And when Curry comes back, it's the same.
Mystic, it's a great point. And that's why, to me, and when we played the Draymond cut earlier, I thought it was such a powerful statement because instead of saying, like, oh, it's the legends and then the youngsters, hearing Draymond say how important it is for Kuminga to be Kuminga mm-hmm. and empowering him and basically now accepting him as one of the top dogs, I thought that was a huge step for the team, for the players, for Draymond, for Kuminga. They're going nowhere without him.
Right.
And he needs to embrace it. I'm totally with you.
All right, I see two calls here that are going to test me. They're going to test me a little bit because somehow, some way, the Warriors are 5-1, and you want to talk about Klay Thompson. Devin in an Uber wants to talk Klay before we get the mic.
Gentlemen, how's it going, man?
Go ahead, Devin.
So I wanted to know, because I know there was a lot of uproar with Klay leaving, and let's not say Klay leaving, by the Warriors not re-signing him, right? Because there's a difference. Small sample size, but I want to know how you guys and the other listeners feel as far as, is everything okay now? You know, since we're winning, does anybody feel a way now that he's gone? Has it not hit yet? Do we need more games? You know, that's kind of my question. First question. Second question is, Draymond's been a very good leader this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's been tested yet. There's going to be people out there that are going to draw that other Draymond out, right? We'll see. But I just wanted to say he's been a phenomenal player, a phenomenal leader, and I think this is the Draymond everyone's been probably asking for. You know, they don't want anything crazy.
Draymond's just been like great. This. Draymond's been great.
Oh, yeah, that's all I want, gentlemen. How you guys feel about Clay?
I feel 5-1 is how I feel. I feel like Clay's,
same with Clay to me.
I feel like Clay's in Dallas doing his thing. Warriors are doing their thing. And I'm really focused. The more here's how I grow through the sports setting in my mind. The more we get deeper into the season, the more Clay's, it's just like he's in Dallas. He's not a member of the Golden State Warriors no more. Now we'll celebrate him when he comes back. After his career is over, he'll get his jersey hung up, and he will never, ever, ever be forgotten about. Ever. So that's where I'm at with Klay Thompson, but I'm locked in on Kuminga, Buddy Hield, Pods. I'm looking at my squad. I don't have time to sit back and say, oh, man, the Doves did it wrong. What happened over the summer is what happened over the summer. But by the end of it, I think you and I both came to an agreement. It was best for both parties to move on. And that's what I've done.
Similar to Frank Gore or Ronnie Lott or Roger Craig or Jerry Rice, I'm always going to root for Clay. You know, like, right. Of course. And he's a legend. And I don't think we need to, you know.
I'm not going
to
do this after every win in every good two games. You know what I'm saying? No, we're six totally. Games in. It's totally. Like, oh, well, Clay, this and that.
Well, I think about, like, the Carlos Hyde game right after Frank Gore left. What did he go for, like, 250 and three touchdowns?
Right.
And it was like, see, this is why you had to get rid of Frank Gore. I was like, wait a minute. I got it. Right. Come on, guys. Let the season play out. And then by the end of the year, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe Frank Gore is not here. Look, both can be true. You can miss him, and you can say that the timing was just about right. Now, I never thought that I know everyone's like, the Warriors did him dirty, and is it, I just think whenever you move off someone, whenever there's a divorce, someone is going to feel like they got the short end of the stick. I know how it is. I've been in enough situations, whether it's a business transaction, a life situation. How many times do you have friends? Oh, so-and-so had a falling out.
Yeah.
Right? It happens all the time.
No doubt.
I've had it happen a zillion times over. Well, and you know what I've learned about falling outs? Sometimes it lasts forever and people are bitter. I get that. Sometimes there are things that just people can't get over. Other times, time heals all wounds.
And I don't think there's any bitterness right now. Clay moved on. Take Warrior fans.
I can't speak for Clay.
Yeah, I know because I've heard.
Okay,
I
mean, then Festus, I'll take your word on that.
Festus hung out with him in Africa. You know, Clay's been making the rounds. He spoke at one of Darrell Wright's camps. Clay's in a great place. But we've moved on, too. We wish Clay well. And let's move on. I'm not going to, you know, same thing earlier today. They had a great win against Houston, and we got people want to know about Moses Moody getting more playing time. He won the game to improve to 5-1. Buddy Hield is 38, or what is he? What is he from the three-point line? 30-58 I got down here? Yeah, 30-58. Buddy's getting buckets. Warriors are getting buckets. They're playing unselfish basketball. But every week we're going to have this Clay watch. Are we really going to do that? We're going to do that to that guy as well who broke his, you know, had two devastating injuries and came back and led the league and made threes and shot 43%. Like, we're going to really do that? We're better than that.
You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Sopranos, those that are out there, but Tony Soprano is sitting down. I think it's in season one and they get back to it in the final episode, Made in America. But he's sitting down with his kids and he's like, hey, look, you got to remember the good times.
Yeah.
Because they're few and far between. And, you know, I there's a lot of stuff going on in the Shasky family right now. And I just say to everybody out there, just remember the good times. Don't harp on the negative. There's not enough time in life to just sit down and always point the finger. Just remember the good times and keep it moving.
Let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, the Warriors will face the Wizards, and there's no Kyle Kuzma, who's been ruled out of tonight's contest with the right groin strain. This will be the third straight game Kuzma will have missed time due to an injury. Also, Marvin Bagley III, he's a game-time decision, still trying to hang on to the league with a non-COVID-related illness. But great news is Stephen Curry has been elevated to questionable. After missing three games, we may see the chef back on the floor. Stephen Curry may be back on the floor tonight against the Washington Wizards, the nation's capital. So, man, you get Steph back. to go along with this court, go along with this team right now. Woo-wee. Steph has had some absolutely awesome nights in Washington, D.C. We could break those numbers down on the other side as well. At some point, we'll get to around the NFL. We'll talk about what's going on in the NFL. That's all coming up, but that was the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, North California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Do not forget, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Extreme sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Willard Dibbs with a short show today as the Warriors take on the Wizards. 4:15 tip, a game you can listen to right here on 95.7 The Game or watch on NBC Sports Bay Area. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Miley and Wanda Creek wants to call me out. Wants to call me out on the other side. I can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to hear this. That's coming up here on The Roast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.